Very happy to have Molly Gotsuch with us this morning to share on Mother's Day. This is a day, a service that we have been planning for some time. Molly and her late husband, Leo, for years and years, were pastors at Phoenix First Assembly of God Church, where Pastor Tommy Barnett was the pastor. His son is now the pastor. Small, struggling church of, 10 or 15,000, you know. And they led the marriage ministry there, and part of their ministry was to raise up counseling or counselors for ministry. It's called NAME, National Association of Marriage Enhancement. And so God blessed their ministry there, and as a result, NAME centers grew throughout the country and throughout the world. And we have a NAME center here in our church where we have couples who are trained by NAME to come alongside other couples who need counseling, who need encouragement. And so this ministry was birthed out of Leo and Molly's ministry. And so they have been with us over the years, basically through every building project we've had. They have done marriage weekends, couples retreats, and things like that. And so they have been longtime friends of our church. October 2011, Leo passed away in an accident while he was on a missions trip. And so for the last 3.5 years, Molly and her family have been leading this ministry of NAME. And so she has a unique and powerful testimony and story for everyone here today. You are going to be blessed by her ministry. I'd love for you to give her your best attention and just ready to receive all that God has. Would you give Molly Gotsuch a great Grace Assembly of God welcome as she comes to share God's word?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here again in your new sanctuary. Oh, wow, I was following on Facebook and seeing just the construction of it and then the opening day and all of that, and I was just so incredibly pleased and thankful for what God has done. You know, we cannot take it lightly what He has done here in New Whitelands at Grace Assembly. He has blessed you people, you know, whereas other people have gone through some real harsh financial difficulty, here you guys were building church. I mean, that is such a testimony right there that through it all, you guys have come out with this amazing facility, this whole front area. Man, I just think it's super excited. And then seeing you over the years, it's been many years since I've been here. I think last time it was just Leo had come. It's great to be with you here today. Let me just get this out of the way. After service, I'll be at our table out there. We have different resources, some incredible deals on USB that you can't, you know, leave without, whether you're married or not, or preparing, or just some of my materials on some of the new messages God's given me over this last 3 years on living with trials and learning how to deal with after the storms of life and all those sort of things. We've got lots of materials and books and stuff out there, and I'll be out there to meet you afterwards. Also, a free sign up we have. If you sign up there, you could win a registration to our marriage conference. It's kind of a Super Bowl, a pastor school of marriage. And so we put that on with a couple thousand people every fall, and so we are going to be having a giveaway for one of those if you sign up. So, all right, well, we have got a message for you today, and let's just pray that God will just supernaturally touch each one of us, you to hear and me to speak, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, we have entered into your presence already, Lord. You are here, you are present, Lord, and we have worshiped you, we have invited you, we have asked you already through the first part of the service, Lord God, to just be here in our lives, Lord. But we ask that there will be no distractions, that you would anoint the hearer's ears and anoint my mouth to speak forth your words, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that lives will be touched and transformed. In your name, Jesus, amen. See, we all have hard times in our life. We all walk through difficulties. And I'm going to share some of my story about some of the difficulties that I have walked in these last 3 years and what I have gone through. As you already know, we started marriage ministry 20-some years ago. Leo and I were married for 29 years. We had amazing marriage. It wasn't always started out that way. You know, we had our little bumps along the way as well, as many marriages do, but we had succeeded through that, and we were passionate about ministry. God transformed our lives and got living in the world to living for Him and all those sort of things. And so through our journey, we got involved in marriage ministry, and God blessed and grew, and as Pastor said, through our name centers. And here, you know, involved in ministry for over 20 years and going strong. And then this situation happened in my life that I would have never imagined in all the world. You know, how does this happen? You kind of wonder, how does something like this happen to someone who's living so strong for God and going 100 miles an hour and traveling the world and implanting ministry in churches and being a leader of His kind and changing laws and in the government as well concerning marriage and all of the impact that this man had. I mean, he was a preacher. He was a preacher's preacher. He was a man of the word. He knew it, unlike me, you know. He could out-preach me anytime. Anytime that I would do anything with him, he was the main course. I was just the dessert, you know. He used to do all the preaching because he was the man, you know. He was the man, and I just sprinkled on a little bit of a message as we went along the way. Any of you, I know I got greeted in last service who have been with us along the years and had been to some of our marriage events here at this church. And you know that, you know, life then was different for me and for how our ministry was expressed. And then all of a sudden, when this accident occurred, all that shifted and the responsibility became on me now. And here, you know, I'm now running this marriage ministry and running ministry overall, all the different aspects that we have going on. And I would have never imagined, never, ever imagined that I even had the ability to do so, to be quite honest with you. You know, who would have thought that would have shifted to me when I thought he was the preacher. And so God has absolutely put me through this amazing journey. When three and a half years ago this accident occurred, it certainly rocked my world. Here we had come off this incredible European tour that we took in the summertime. It was an amazing time of ministry for 5 different weeks within Europe. Just months before the accident, we had been ministering on the weekends in some different countries in Italy and Spain and France, Scotland, and all of that. And it was an amazing time because our whole family was together and ministering, but yet being able to have a trip like that. And now we're able to look back and just see, wow, what a blessing it was to have that opportunity just months before Leo passed, that we hold dear in our heart those memories of that trip and so many other things, of course. But that was just extra special blessing that God gave us. In that trip, in fact, my daughter got engaged on the Eiffel Tower. We surprised her by flying in her husband to be, and meeting. Leo went to go get him at the airport, brought him to the top of the Eiffel Tower. I brought the girls up there to meet. We pretended we were meeting a pastor up there, and then we just said, "We got to go up there. The pastor's up there, and he's waiting to meet us." And anyway, they fell for it. They went up to the Eiffel Tower after complaining of being hungry and everything else. It was just rough to get them up there. They were so whiny. But anyway, we got them up there. And Matthew had just surprised all three of my girls because we didn't tell any of them of our plan. And there he got on one knee and he got engaged to my oldest daughter, Emily. They're now married for 2.5 years already. And so we had just been on a journey when all of a sudden, after our international marriage conference and another conference, Leo came home. We had just left for Canada. come back from Canada, excuse me, and I had decided not to go on this trip to Uganda, Africa with him. He went ahead and went on, as we often did. I had been before, he had been many times to Uganda, and this was just another one of those trips. We had supported an orphanage there, we had done marriage ministry and marriage crusades, and here we were again, just, you know, sending Leo off as we often did. And then just, you know, a couple, really a day in, 24 hours or so into his trip, I had actually Skyped Leo the day before, the night before, 12, 13 hours before the accident had occurred. He had just finished touring the orphanage, and he had just preached at this other church, and so we were Skyping, and he shared some of his experiences and all of that with me, and then some 13 hours later, I was at the physical therapist. He texted me, and he said, "Hey, when are we gonna speak? I'm heading back to the hotel now. I just finished praying for 1,000 people of the Bazugu tribe, you know, and I'd love to catch up with you via Skype." And I said, "Well, I'll be home at this hour, and, you know, let's connect in about an hour and a half or something like that." And then it went silent. Didn't think anything of it because we were going to connect in an hour and a half. Got a phone call, was told, "Please try calling Leo." I got a call from Uganda, my girlfriend said, and for some reason, you know, "I just really feel you need to try calling him." And I thought, well, I know he's on his phone. He just texted me 15, 20 minutes ago. So I called him, no answer, called him, no answer. Then the journey went on. I headed back home and made the phone call back to the pastor and got the news, the phone call that changed my life. I couldn't believe it at the time. I was in shock. I was screaming out, "No, God, no." You know, here this pastor was hysterical on the other side of the phone. They said, "They're dead. They're all dead." There were four people in the car. John Michael was our good friend, the one, the host who always has us, who does marriage ministry there, and for years and years we've been connected with him and his orphanage and marriage ministry and all of that, and he perished in the car with Leo. And so did his armor bearer. He brought an armor bearer, first time he had ever left the country, this man. His name was also Leo, an ex-police officer who just wanted to go on a missions trip and experience something, carrying Leo's suitcase, so to speak. And he passed away in the car that day, and another man from Africa. And so, you know, here I got this news, and I was just shocked. I was crying out to the Lord. I couldn't believe it. I decided, you know, this couldn't be so. That maybe there's miscommunication. Maybe something went wrong, you know, and they're not communicating right. Maybe they don't really know what happened. He's assuming this. I better call back, and I have some questions. And I asked him. I called back and I said, "Are you there? Have you seen the accident? How do you know this?" He said, "Yes, Molly. Yes, I am here. I am here. The car is in front of me, and they're all dead." I was just crushed, crying out to the Lord. People started to come to my house. My pastor came, and then my girls, who had a half day at school, came into the house, and I had to share those news with them. They could already sense something wasn't right. You know, here my pastor was over there, and several other people at the house, and their faces were white, and they said, "Mom, what is it? Just tell me. And I said, "Your father's in heaven." They fell to their knees and then fell on their faces and cried out. My youngest daughter said, "I'm 14. I'm only 14. And my middle daughter, who was 16 at the time, she said, "This didn't surprise God." And I thought to myself, wow, what maturity. Yeah, it's true. It didn't surprise God. Somehow he knows, and he's in control of it all if we trust and rely on him. You know, as hard as that season was, that whole first week was tremendous. It was difficult, as you can only imagine. Here I was, had a responsibility of a marriage ministry. you know, wondering what's next, what's the next step. And for some reason, God implanted in my mind a memory of Leo 3 weeks before preaching at a good friend's funeral who had passed away after dealing with cancer for 5 years. He was a prayer warrior with Leo, prayed on the mountain by our church for many years. Patrick had finally lost the battle to cancer, and he had won the victory of heaven. And so here Leo was, preaching his sermon 3 weeks before his own accident. And he said to those people, and he challenged them that day, and I'll never forget it. He said, let's not be questioning why, God. Why? Why is Patrick gone? Why did you take Patrick? But instead, let's realize what Patrick has poured into our lives. And let's say, what now, God? What now? What now do I do with everything that Patrick had poured into my life? And so that memory came to mind, as many flood, memories just flood you after you experience a grief like that, a loss like that. You start thinking about all the last conversations and all the last moments and all those things. And I was reminded of that funeral. And so that was just inside me. And I said, that's right. I'm not going to ask why. Why, God, why? I had pastors who said, oh, you must be asking why. It's okay to ask why. And it is okay to ask why if that's fine. But for me, it wasn't. It was not okay. And I try to tell people, you know, and challenge them and say, if we stay in the why, if we go, why did this happen to me? Oh, me, oh my, why, oh why did it happen to me? Woe is me. And that gets on you. That becomes part of you. And that'll just bring you further down. And I couldn't allow that to happen. Instead, I started to say, what now, God? What now? What is next? You must have a plan. You see the bigger picture. And so I realized that I had to make some decisions to move forward with my life, to not stay there, not stay in the past, not stay with what's behind me all the time. Because you could live there, guys. You can live in the past. You can stay there in your mind, in your spirit. You can live there. But there is a future for all of us. And God's got a plan for all of us. And so I was determined, I am not going to live back here. I will be thankful for what I've been able to enjoy back here. I will be thinking of those wonderful times and those wonderful memories. But I have got to have a plan to move on, to move forward. Because God has a purpose and a plan in my life. And folks, I'm no different than you. The same goes with you, because you have stories out there too. And you need to maybe move on with your life. See, we all trip up. We all fall down at times in our life. We get to a place where we can struggle about getting back up again. But it's our choice. We've got to make that choice, that decision to get up again and to move forward. That we've got to keep moving forward, step by step, one step at a time. That's all it takes. And I was determined to do it, that I was going to want every day, I got to make a step forward. I got to move on forward, because God's got a destiny. God's got a plan for my life. It wasn't easy. It was hard. I was grieving. I had children I had to deal with. I had decisions I had to make. There was much going on in my life at the time, but I was determined to take this mess that I was in and turn it around to glorify him, because he had a purpose. So I knew that, as horrible as it was, what I was going through, as difficult as the pain was, that anyone who's really experienced a heavy grief, you're kind of in a fog. It's kind of cloudy. It's kind of, you know, but you know that somehow, I knew that somehow I'm going to get through this season. I'm not going to stay here in this cloudy part of my life, but I'm going to press on and move forward, that this heavy part of grieving will eventually be over. And that, you know what? It's not me to make sense out of it all. I can't question and make sense out of it all. I knew that this time would be hard and not easy, but I would eventually get through it. You know, days after days after Leo had passed, just 2 days actually, someone had posted his last recorded message on Facebook. And they put that posting on there. This was of the night he was at a church in Uganda, the night before, the 13 hours. Remember, he Skyped me just after he had preached his message. And so someone posted this recorded message, and I got to hear it. And hear that, that was so precious to me, that I got to hear his last recorded message that he had. And so in that, he had given his testimony of how he got healed a year before, a tremendous story of healing of cancer of his thyroid, that there's a reported, documented report that said full cancer thyroid, and then once he had the surgery and it was complete, they biopsied it again a second time, no cancer in that thyroid at all. It was an amazing story, and he loved to give it, and he loved to be able to encourage people. Well, in that message, he ended the message with this scripture, and it was so powerful for me to hear, but it was tough for me to hear too, because this is the last words that I hear him preach at the end of his sermon, and I'm hearing his voice, and it says Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And here he is preaching. Here I am hearing this. And I'm thinking, whoa, really? Really? All things work together? How is this good? How is this good? And this is the last words that I get to hear that my husband spoke. That was a little tough for me to swallow. But very soon thereafter, I thought, wait a second. I know he always used to preach this, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good. All things, not some things, not a few things, but all things work. All things. And somehow, some way, the word isn't wrong, so somehow, all things work together for the good. And I have to remember that somehow God has a better, not a better, a different, he's got a purpose, he's got a plan for it all. He's going to turn around the circumstances because all things work together for the good. And then I realized that next word, together, is a key. It's a key in the whole process of what we go through. It's together they work out for the good. Not isolated, not by themselves. See, when we go through things, when we go through those hard times, it's really rough. That thing itself is not good. I'm not trying to tell you that Leo's death was a good thing, or your problem is a good problem. You know, it's not good to lose a house. It's not good to go bankrupt or lose a job. It's not good to have hurting and pain in your relationships. It's not good to lose a loved one. I get that. But you know, all things, the word says, all things together work for the glory of God. They work together. So realize that it's not the isolated problems, but that somehow, some way, God has got a bigger picture. See, life is like a puzzle, right? Life is all about being a puzzle. We are putting the pieces of that puzzle together throughout our whole lifetime. But the truth is that God has got the picture, the end result of that puzzle figured out. We don't know what that puzzle exactly looks like, but we are on a journey through our lifetime to put those pieces of the puzzle together. Sometimes those pieces are hard. Sometimes they're difficult, and sometimes they're easier, and we don't know what the picture's going to look like, so we've got to try to figure it out and put all the pieces together and trust God along the way, that he has got the bigger and better plan in mind. Amen? And that's what it means in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good. For those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. See, there was a reason Leo left that message for me to hear. There was a reason, and it was for me to be encouraged. Who would have imagined I would be in the circumstances that I am in? and that I had to trust God. I couldn't make sense out of it all, but trust him along the way. God did so many things during this journey. You know, it's just incredible. See, 5 weeks after Leo's accident, 2.5 weeks before Christmas, we're heading towards the holidays, just finished Thanksgiving, first holiday, not easy, heading towards Christmas. We were anticipating much, had one daughter, really rough time, depression, PTSD, panic attacks, all of that was starting to happen and just begin, I should say. I had a debt loan of a building of $500,000, a balloon that was due that Leo was burdened about and trying to raise the funds, and we were in the process of doing that, that was due on like December 4th. And he died on October 27th. That now shifted onto me to have to try to take care of. I had a lot on my plate. Then 5 weeks after he passed, I got a phone call. And that phone call was from a doctor that I didn't expect. Said, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Godzich, but I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have cancer. You have uterine cancer, and you need to have a full hysterectomy right away." And I said, "Well, I can't do that. I have to wait until after the holidays. I had to protect my kids and be there for my girls. And we had to get through this season, through this first Christmas." And so I said, "I'll do it in January." So on January 6th, I had a full radical hysterectomy, had everything removed out. And I was trusting God through this process. This was hard news. It was a hard phone call to get after 5 weeks. But I decided I was going to keep this a huge secret. I was not going to tell anybody. I told two girlfriends, and that was that. I did not need this information leaking out to the public, and I definitely didn't need it leaking out to my daughters, who couldn't have handled it at the time. And so I had to be that mama bear to protect your kids and not let that information get to them. And then I was reminded that, you know what, the week before I got that phone call, I reminded myself of this the next day after the phone call, that wait, God just assured me that he had my future in his hands, that he has a destiny and a purpose, that somehow I was going to carry on this marriage ministry, that yes, it was going to look different. He was going to give me fresh ideas, new ideas. He was going to open up new doors of opportunity. And the truth is, in the last 3 years, he's done all that. I've started doing other things that I hadn't done before. I would have never imagined that I would have been put in this position and this role, because like I said before, Leah was the main preacher. He was the guy who really was a preacher of the word. And so here I am with all this on my plate. I had this surgery, and then it seemed to go well. He seemed to be positive, and the doctor, but I wanted to wait till pathology report came back, since they took out a bunch of lymph nodes and we wanted to see if it spread. And so until I received that report back, I wouldn't talk to my kids. So I went ahead, got that report back, and guess what? No cancer. It was all removed. Praise God. No more cancer in my body. So here I did not have to go through radiation or chemotherapy. I could sit down my girls and say, "Hey, guess what? I am cancer free. Hallelujah." They were like, "What? Are you serious, Mom?" You know, they were just shocked beyond belief that I kept that information from them. And I said, "One day you're going to understand what it is to be a mom, to be a strong mom there for your kids, to just cover them and protect them and all of that." So that's what I needed to do. And they really did actually understand in the long run. So God was doing amazing things. He was birthing new things in me. And that's what gave me the courage to move on and press forward. He started to show me new things. A matter of fact, I opened up a new ministry that he had started to birth in that first month, because I knew that the man who was the director of that orphanage that we always visited and supported had 1,500 kids. And my dear friend Eva is now a widow, because Pastor John Michael passed away in the car with Leo. And so here, I was just heartbroken about what poor Eva is going through in Uganda. And so I thought, how is she going to carry on? She's a pastor of a church now. All that shifted onto her. And she's in charge and now becoming a director of an orphanage of 1,500 kids. I was reminded of a conversation that Leo had with me that day that we Skyped 13 hours before the accident. He said to me, Molly, I just saw Destiny Orphanage. It's growing. They're accepting babies now, right? Abandoned babies now. He said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we need to start a sponsorship program for these kids. And I said, you're kidding. I said, well, how does that really fit with marriage ministry? I said, but okay, let's talk about it when you get back. He said, yeah, let's do it. Lo and behold, after the accident, reminded of that last conversation, I said, that's it. That's the last vision he gave me. I'm supposed to carry on. Who would have known? But God sees the bigger picture, right? Who would have known that John Michael would have passed in the car at that time? Leo didn't know that. I actually got a video back from the car accident, and it was crushed and mangled video camera that Leo had. One of the things that I told the State Department at the time in the embassy, and I said, I want his articles back. I want his cell phone. I want his camera. If you could get me, you know, his wedding ring and all those sort of things. They actually stripped the car at the scene of the accident, as they do, unfortunately, over there. And his watch was taken, his cell phone was taken. Things were just stripped out of the car in the middle of the accident. We were able to get quite a few of those things back, everything but his watch. But I got back the camera, and the State Department said, it's so crushed and mangled, I'm sorry, Mrs. Godsett, there'll be nothing on it. Well, when I finally got it back in the mail, I prayed over that thing, and I said, I want to see those pictures. This has got to work. And I plugged it in my USB, and everything downloaded. It was amazing. And on that, I got to see all the videos that he shot that last day and all those things, all the prayers that he had done and everything. And on that USB camera was a video that he shot. You need to support Destiny Orphanage. This is an amazing orphanage you've got to support. He had shot his own promo video for the new ministry. I'm not kidding, guys. It was amazing. And so here I started a new ministry called Leo's Kids. And so we're now sponsoring kids for Uganda and this orphanage. I just came back from Uganda 2 weeks ago. I went to Uganda in Europe and did preaching there. Actually, I was in Indiana last weekend preaching a marriage conference. And so I like Indiana. I think I'll just come back every weekend. How's that? So I just came off a marriage weekend last weekend and then here this weekend. So God is so good. It's amazing. I would have never, ever imagined that I would be put in these circumstances. But Sika, I'm here today so that somehow, some way, I can encourage you. Because that's all the sense I can possibly make out of my journey, is to be able to turn it around to glorify God. And God wants to do something in your life. Because the truth is, we all have stories, and we all go through junk at different parts of our lives. I was meeting some people after service, and you know, someone whose husband died 9 months later, their son died. Her son died. I mean, I can't even relate to some of these things. They're so heavy. And for some reason, God wants to take those stories and turn them around to glorify Him. And He wants to use you as much as He wants to use me. He wants you to take your circumstances, your pain, your situation, to glorify Him. See, as dark as your moment might be, as harsh as your season that you might be in, God can be there for you as much as He was there for me. Maybe you won't have a microphone to be able to express it to as many people, but you can express it to the one nearest you. Maybe you're there to help that coworker, that family member, that neighbor go through the season, the hardest season in their life. You know, it's kind of like sometimes people get dropped into these pits, these incredible dark holes and horrible seasons in their life. And they're desperate to get out. They're just wanting to be pulled out because they didn't have maybe that strength that I had. I'm not anybody special. Everyone's different. Everyone grieved different in my home. We all had different times where we were a mess. So we've got to be able to cut each other some slack and be there for each other. So if you're the one trying to reach up to God and just ask for his help here today, maybe that's you. Maybe you need to be pulled up. Maybe instead you're the one who knows somebody. You know somebody who's really going through it. And they need a helping hand. And maybe you're that one who can help them. Help them through the hardest season they've ever been through. We're here called as a body together. Together, we're all a piece of the puzzle. We're a piece of God's puzzle of this church. And we're all supposed to do our part so the puzzle will fit beautifully right here at Grace Assembly. Let's do what we can to make our story turn around to glorify him. Amen? I want to pray with you, but I believe we're going to have some leaders come forward. Would you like to do that, Pastor? Invite some of these people? I would love to pray for you. I know this isn't just your traditional Mother's Day message. I mean, had a few little points there that was going to give you, but God is doing something special in this room. I know that people need healing today. They need a fresh start, a new beginning from this day forward. They don't have to keep looking back. But they can start to move forward and see what God has destined in their life.